the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
That's us. Yeah, welcome. It is the Bucket Strategy Investing Program. Johnny Dean here. We got more to talk about this hour in our quest. It's our unending, our never-ending quest to answer as many of your money questions as we possibly can. Here with me, Professor Rick Plum, as always, helping out with the strategy portion of the show. In fact, he's carrying the main load of that. And this is where you come in, all right? You can take advantage of the years and years of experience, the knowledge that we've got here in the studio. And look, all you got to do is give us a call. We're going to take your calls in just about 60 seconds. We'll continue to answer your emails and answer your calls as well. All of this is coming up shortly. So we have just a few lines open right now, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Pick up your phone, give us a call at that number, 877-752-6637. Now your emails, well, you just send those to us via our website. It's the one we call wealthed.com at the Find Your Answer link right there at the top of the page. And we'll answer your emails right here on the program. Do have a lot of those to get to this hour. Professor Plum, certified financial planner. Rick is here with us once again from Lucia Capital Group. So if you got a money question or if you need a bucket strategy done just for you, you can reach Rick or any of the other advisors that we got on hand, 800-644-1150. That's the off-air number. We're here to give you the help that you need. Again, 800-644-1150. That's the number off-air at Lucia Capital Group. On the air, I would suggest you call right now because it could be another busy hour on the phones. 877-PLANNER, our number, 877-752-6637. Let's move along. We got a couple of callers on hold, so we'll get to them first and to some of the remarks that we were going to talk about this hour. Joe is first up this hour in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys.
How are you doing today?
Okay.
So what's up?
Well, I got a letter from my mother's teacher retirement.
Okay.
And she passed away in the fall of this past. And so I am qualifying for a death benefit.
Okay.
And I am told that I can claim it, and I have different options. It's not a large amount, but what's perturbed me is the one where they just send me a check has a mandatory 20%
withholding.
Tax withholding.
Okay.
There's others. I can roll it over to an IRA, and then it skips that, Uncle Sam take step.
Okay.
And I'm considering that, but I'm just perturbed why the tax I will owe on it isn't between myself and Uncle Sam by the end of the year when I file.
Well, I mean, if you're asking why is there a 20% mandatory withholding on a pension distribution?
Well, that and or why is my only option is to say, yeah, take the money and we'll settle up at the end of the year as opposed to let me have the money and we'll see where we are at the end of the year.
Well, you can do it. I understand the 20% is a random number. It's an arbitrary number. It doesn't mean that's what you owe, or it doesn't mean that you won't owe more when you settle up at the end of the year or the beginning of the next year when you do your taxes. It's an arbitrary flat withholding amount. And so if you want to get away from that, how large is this death benefit or this amount, this account that's being paid out to you?
It's $2,500.
Okay, $2,500. I mean, the way to get around it is to have it sent to an IRA. Now, the $2,500 is in an IRA. There is no mandatory withholding on an IRA. So you can pull the money out of the IRA, all $2,500 of it, and then settle up with the IRS however you want, when you want. As long as you don't do any under withholding, you're going to be fine. You'll just have to pay the taxes when you file your return for 2016 in early 2017. The reason it's there, it's a political reason. It was to pay for unemployment insurance back in the early 90s. President Bush 41 put it in as a way to raise money for the government to shore up a shortfall in the supposed budget back then to pay for some unemployment compensation. That's why it's there. Other than that, it's a down payment on what people will pay in taxes. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't realize that payouts, especially from an inherited sum like this, would be potentially a taxable event. And so they put this 20% on so that the government would get some money instead of waiting until April when the people file their tax return. Is it right? Is it wrong? It's politics. It's not right. It's not wrong. It's just the way it is. If you want to avoid it, roll it to an inherited IRA and take the distribution from the inherited IRA. It's a pain in the keister, but it's what you're going to have to do if you want to avoid that 20% withholding.
Right, but the distribution at that point would be a higher taxable event than.
No, it's not. It's $2,500, right?
Yeah.
If they distribute it from the pension, you're going to receive a check for $2,000, and $500 is going to go to the IRS as a 20% down payment. But it's still a $2,500 taxable event.
Yeah, but if it went to an IRA and then comes out from the IRA, it wouldn't it be taxed higher?
No, it's still a $2,500 taxable event. It's $2,500 either way.
And no penalty for pulling it out.
There's no penalty because it's an inherited IRA. Your age, the fact that you're under 59 and a half, if you were to take money out of your own IRA, you would have a penalty. However, this technically is not your IRA. It's an inherited IRA. And because the individual unfortunately passed away, there is no penalty anymore on the money coming out of their accounts. You're the beneficiary of that account. And so it's still taxable. It's $2,500 taxable, but it's not penalized because it's coming from an inherited IRA. Even if you were 10 or 11 years old, it's still an inherited IRA, no penalty. But it's $2,500 regardless either. Whether it comes to you as a $2,000 check where $500 was sent to the IRS, still a $2,500 distribution. Goes to an inherited IRA, you take the $2,500 out of the inherited IRA, $2,500 taxable distribution. They're taxed exactly the same way. Ordinary income on both, no penalties on both, $2,500 each.
Okay, so it's taxable at my income tax rate at the end of the year.
Yep. Just goes on top of anything else you have.
And they're going to cut the check and send it to me one way or another. It's a difference in how it's styled as to which option I choose.
But the only real difference, well, I mean, as far as the lump sum, $2,500, the only difference is, do you want to pay the 20% now?
Or
do you want to wait and pay it later? You're going to owe the taxes one way or the other. I don't know how much in taxes you're going to owe. If you think that you're not going to owe 20% federal on this, do the IRA and get a little bit more money. But ultimately, you're going to pay the same amount of taxes on it either way.
But it won't slow me down in terms of accessing the money. They're just going to send me a check that's styled differently. It will say federal.
Yeah,
I don't know. And we'll say IRA, da-da-da, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's a lot simpler. If you don't mind them withholding the $500 now, it's a lot quicker, simpler, less paperwork to have them send you a check from the pension than to do it through the inherited IRA account. Because otherwise, you're going to have to open an account, have the money sent from point A, the pension, to the IRA, the inherited IRA, and then tell the inherited IRA to send you the money. Now, they may actually, the IRA company may charge you $10, $15, $20, $30 to have that IRA. So to get that without the withholding, you got a bunch of hoops to jump through. To get it quick, you got to let them withhold 20%.
All right. I appreciate it. And I know there's some people that are sitting and listening and really wondering if it isn't worth the extra hoops just to thwart what was described earlier as a political.
Yeah. Joe, let me ask you this,
mechanism.
Joe. Are you married or single, Joe?
I'm married.
And between you and your wife, how much total income do you have for the household?
70.
Okay, so you're going to be in a 15% income tax bracket. So the 20% withholding is a little more than you actually owe. So you would get it back when you file your return as a larger refund next year than you would otherwise get. So that's just one way to do it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Joe, thank you very much for the call. And we've had questions like this before. Mm-hmm. The withholding, just like withholding out of your check, it's a sort of guess. It's a down payment, whatever you want to call it.
It's a down payment on what you may or may not owe at the end of the year. But they do 20% withholding regardless of whether it's $2,500
or $25,000
or $250,000 of distribution. So it's just a flat percentage regardless of the size of the distribution and a flat percentage just regardless of who's actually receiving it. And everybody, has, different tax brackets, different needs, different issues. It's just a flat number.
Did they really do this back 25, 30 years ago?
I think it was 1993.
and told everybody that the government needed our money
to
pay for things?
No, that's not what they told everybody. I can't remember what they told them, but that's what it was used for.
What a crock.
What? I'm not saying it's not a crock. It's politics.
Ridiculous. That's politics. I don't even know what that is.
And even
that's a bunch of people with no clue.
Even back then we were talking about, but it's so easy to get around. Just roll it to an IRA. You know, and then there is no mandatory withholding from an IRA. Now, there's always these withholding rules, safe harbor rules that you do, potentially want to withhold something. But it's especially if this had been $25,000, $100,000.
Yeah, sure.
Now it really means
that's
big.
Yeah.
And we saw that one guy do it with $640,000 or $800,000.
Right. Now, in this case, it's $500, but $500 is $500.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. The government that issues money needs it from us.
And he's going to owe $375 when he pays his taxes.
877-PLANNER. I'm going to try to figure this out. I won't be able to during the break. When we come back, more of your phone calls and emails. It's Bucket Strategy Investing. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. 877-752-6637. Emails, you get those to us at our website, wealthed.com, WEALTH, wealthed.com, as in wealth education, which is what we try to do on this program for you. It's very important, very important. Your money is yours. It's what's going to keep you in business. It's what's going to keep you going throughout your retirement years. And if you run out of money before you run out of time, you got some serious problems. And so we want to try to avoid that as best we can. And that's why we talk about what we talk about on this program. WealthEd.com, where you can send us an email. Let's get to a couple of these, Professor Plum. I had a very quick one from Terry in North Las Vegas, Nevada, who asks, I'm not sure if this is the right, these are the right letters, but what is a QACT? Defers a required minimum distribution withdrawal. I think it's really a qualified annuity contract.
It's a QLAC, qualified longevity annuity contract, and it is designed to create retirement income at a later point in life, so we can't outlive our money. And if it is there are longevity annuity contracts out there that are not qualified, but if it's a qualified longevity annuity contract, up to 25% of your total IRA, or as much as $125,000, whichever is lower, can be exempt from the required minimum distribution rules. So let's take somebody has a $500,000 IRA. They can take up to 25%, $125,000, just happens to work the math in this case, and they put it into a qualified longevity annuity contract, and now they do their required minimum distribution only on $375,000. It reduces their required minimum distribution by a quarter. Now, that money is there, and at some later date, usually 80 to 85, most commonly 85, it turns into an automatic income stream that is a lifetime payment for the owner. And so you put in the 125 and you may get X amount of dollars or whatever the number is from 85 for the rest of your life. So you have money set aside for the future. And so it's a nice idea. It makes sense as long as you don't actually look at the numbers. And it makes sense if you just want to feel good about something.
So really what you're saying is it's kind of a stupid thing and it doesn't frankly make a lot of sense.
Well, the way that unfortunately doing it in today's environment where interest rates are extremely low and locking in, typically they're sold to somebody who's in their early 60s to mid 60s and putting money aside for the future. That's fine. But with today's interest rates, they stink. I haven't seen every single one out there, but they're horrible. They don't earn anything. And in fact, if you want to put a death benefit on it so that if you died at 84, that some assets are left over for heirs, or you want to put a joint and survivor option on it, then the payouts come way down. Or they don't do well. And the problem is they sound really neat. And who wouldn't want to send money aside or for the future? Because we have this retirement income crisis, right? Well, the people that are worried about the required minimum distribution aren't worried about their income. The reason they're worried about the required minimum distribution affecting their income taxes is because they have a required minimum distribution where they don't need the income. They don't, if they were taking the income, they already know that they're going to need the. So the only people that are worried about the required minimum distribution affecting them negatively on their tax brackets are people who don't need to spend the required minimum distribution. And people who aren't even spending their required minimum distribution aren't worried about running out of money because they're not touching their money except for the government saying you got to pay taxes on it. The people that are worried about running out of money are spending all their money now because they don't have enough money to live off of. They're not worried about the required minimum distribution. They're worried about running out of money. And so a rate of return is important to them, not the taxation.
And they're not getting the rate of return that
there
they
is no
getting.
Rate of return on yeah. these. It's horrible, horrible, horrible.
Well, I guess if you live to be 120.
So it doesn't solve the required minimum distribution problem for the people who are worried about paying taxes on a required minimum distribution. It solves an income problem, but it also means you have to reduce your income from other sources now. And so that's fine. I mean, hey, if I can take 25% of it, all I'm doing is taking money. I'm 65 years old. I'm taking 25% of my portfolio and putting it into something that I am, by definition, not going to spend for 20 years. It sounds like bucket number three to me.
It really
does. I'm taking money and I'm putting into a guaranteed account that will turn into an income stream. And if I make it to 85, it'll start paying me out an income, 86, 87, 88, 90, for the rest of my life. The problem is, what if I died before I get to age 85? What if I die at age 86? That one may even be worse because I got one payment and then died. No rate of return.
What happens to the money?
It's an immediate annuity.
So you lose it is what happens.
Unless you put a joint survivor benefit on it, which means it's going to pay out to somebody else if I die too soon, a term certain on it or a death benefit on it. Yeah. And every time you do that, the insurance company is just ratcheting down my payment, what I get if I happen to live that long, which doesn't help my retirement income crisis all that much. And when you look at the real rate of return, money in versus money out, unless I live to be really old, 95, 100, it's like getting a 2 or 3% rate of return, maybe 4. And if I'm setting money aside for 20 years before I need to touch it, before I can touch it, I sure would like to get something better than a 3 or 4% rate of return.
And you'd like something left over for your heirs if possible.
If possible. I'm more concerned about me.
Cases. Well, but in this case, you would be, sure. Yeah. Now, this is an annuity after all. That's right. What the A in this QLAC.
Right.
Again, these are, if you just tuned in, this is a qualified longevity annuity. They're called longevity annuities.
And the qualified part makes it exempt, at least up to the limits of the required minimum distribution.
Yeah, so you don't have to count that as part of your required minimum distribution.
I got a way to reduce the required minimum distribution as well.
Gee, I think, go ahead.
Lose 25% of your IRA. Less RMD.
You mean go out and put it in some kind of a high flyer and...
What's the difference? Either way, I lose the money.
Okay, I should point out
you're
not being serious on this. There are ways to lower your required minimum distribution. It can be very beneficial, by the way.
Yeah, marry somebody that's 30.
Okay, you mentioned too.
You can lower your RMD a lot by doing that.
You said age. Now, we're talking about somebody who can't get to the money until they're age 85. There is a sort of a sweet spot, if you want to call it, of ages where annuities can work the best, right?
Well,
so you can be too young, but you can also be too old.
No, not necessarily. We're talking about those annuities that you're talking about there are the guaranteed withdrawal benefit annuities, where you're taking out a certain percentage based on some income base.
Right.
And those do have a sweet spot. And the sweet spot for immediate annuities are in late 70s through and above, because now you get a large payout. And by then, you have a pretty good idea of what your life expectancy is. You don't buy life immediate annuities, with no life expectancy. And so you're getting out there, you're 75 years old, 80 years old, and you're saying, you know what, I am doing really well. I'm super healthy. I really expected to make it a long time, longer than normal for somebody my age. And so that you can turn the tables on the insurance company a little bit because they're basing it on average life expectancies. They don't work that well for younger people because of today's interest rates. We're buying in. And so what's my problem with the qualified longevity annuity contract is I'm basically buying a deferred annuity that I can't touch for 20 years at today's rates, locking in today's rates, and then getting an immediate annuity at the end of it. I'd rather buy a deferred annuity that has ratcheting up rates with interest rates and buy the immediate annuity when I'm 85.
And these are being pushed a lot by government and all that to, I guess, to help you. But I asked this question
here from the government. I'm here to
help.
Last
break, how in the world does this possibly help? Just stand out of the way and let people who understand how these things work make the policies. Okay, hang on. Going to get back to your phone call. James in St. Paul. Others, stick around. That's coming up next. 877-PLANNER. A line or two open. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Show is just flying by. The hour's flying by. There's some room on the phones, but not a lot. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. We're here answering your questions on the program, as we do every day. We will get to some more emails shortly, and we will be answering your questions in person, too. Keep this in mind. You can meet the Brain Trust, a whole bunch of different cities around the country. We've been doing this for many, many years. We do them in the fall, in the spring series, and in the fall series. And we've got more coming up wherever you happen to be. If you're watching or listening to this program, there's a pretty good chance that the Brain Trust will be somewhere near you. What do? You sign up for the 2016 Retirement Income Challenges Workshops put on by Lucia Capital Group. You can do so by going to wealthed.com, wealthed.com, our website. Find out where the Brain Trust will be, and you can sign up there. It's all free. You meet the Brain Trust, you get your questions answered, and you learn a lot, too. I would say this. Every time I go, I learn a lot, and I'm here all the time. So why not? Check them out once again at wealthed.com, the Retirement Income Challenges Workshops going on throughout the country right now. Sign up. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Looks like a couple of people just hung up, so call back. We'll get meantime to James in St. Paul with a question or two. Hello, James.
Yeah, what I'm looking for, I'm 70, and I don't need really an annuity. I just need something that's maybe equivalent to a five-year CD or something like that. What's the minimum surrender period on annuities?
Typically on a deferred annuity, a fixed annuity, if you're going to compare it to a CD, would be 3 years.
So they're fairly short.
They can be. You're going to get just shy of 2% in that world on a three. You'll be a little over 2% on a five-year. You can get them in three, four, five-year time horizons.
Okay, so it's not too much different. I thought I could get 3.5% or 4%. That's totally unrealistic.
Yeah, that's totally unrealistic.
Okay.
I was just looking at them on Friday, and I was comparing CD rates. CD rates were in the 1.6-ish, 1.65 that I saw with companies I'd actually heard of, and annuity rates were just shy of 2-ish, maybe 1.8, 1.9. So you don't have
that. On the five, the annuity rate was roughly what?
That was on the 3 years.
Oh, 2% on the 3 years?
Well, a little under, like 1.8, 1.9, somewhere in there.
1.8. And what on the five?
I'm trying to remember, just over 2.
Okay, I gotcha. Okay, and then there's fees. Is that after fees?
No, there are no fees.
Oh, okay.
On a fixed annuity, just like on a CD, what are the fees on a CD? There are no fees on a CD.
No, right.
Bank is still making money. What are the fees on a fixed annuity?
I heard another one called it a fixed indexed annuity.
Right.
Do you know what that is?
Oh, yeah. They're typically a little longer. The shortest ones I've seen there are generally in the 5-plus range. The most commonly sold ones are in the 12 and 15-year range. I hate those.
Surrender charge
periods. But you can get them 5-year. But obviously, the shorter time horizon to the end of the surrender period, the lower the potential cap rates are. Right now, 5-7-year fixed index annuities. And what it is first and foremost a fixed annuity. A fixed annuity is a guaranteed principal account, guaranteed by the insurance company. And it's going to pay you interest. The ones I was talking about before, they told you what the interest is going to be for that fixed period of time.
Right.
With an index annuity, the interest is not known until the end of each year. At each contract anniversary, they're going to look at the index, whatever you tied it to, whether it was a balanced index, the S&P index, or whatever the number of different ways to do it, and they're going to see, was that index positive or negative? And then if it was positive, they're going to give you an interest rate that is somehow watered down based on what that index did. So if, the easiest one to understand is what they call a point-to-point, where they look at the contract anniversary to contract anniversary. Let's say the index started the contract anniversary at 1,000. Whatever the index was, it was just 1,000. They're gonna, what happens in the middle on a point to point, doesn't matter, and they're going to look at it at the end on the contract anniversary. Was it up or down? If it was down, you don't get any interest. You don't lose anything because the principal is in a principal guaranteed account held by the insurance company. It is not in the market. It's just a guaranteed account. But you didn't earn any interest. Now, if it's positive, the interest was the index was up 1%. You get 1%. The index is up 10%. You'd get probably 4 to 5% because there's a cap. You get the upside subject to a limit. There's a cap, and so you can't go past the cap. You won't earn any. So they apply the 4% interest to your, or whatever it was, to your account. And each year, they do it again.
Okay, so there's no fees involved in that?
There's no fees on the base contract. Now, if you put a rider on it that guarantees an income or something else on it, some different riders, there may be a rider fee, but on the contract itself, there's no fee.
So in other words, this fixed index is kind of like, say all you wanted was the S&P 500 plus whatever the growth is. It's basically kind of like buying a put.
To some degree, but there's going to be a limit on it. It's you're not in the S&P 500. You're not really participating in the growth of it because there's some kind of what they call strategy. It's a formula for determining the interest rate. It is an interest play. And so if the market goes up that you're basing it on, then you'll earn some interest. If the market goes down, then you don't earn any interest. That's actually how the insurance companies working it. They're buying options on the index underneath. They take some of the money you give them, most of it they put into a guaranteed, their general account that's going to pay something, and the other portion of it, they're buying options so that they can take advantage of the upside without tying up a lot of money, and it goes worthless if they go on the downside. All it is an interest play. Now, if you've got a 5+ year time horizon, I like the index annuity. Now, I don't expect it to earn 6, 7, 8%. I expect it to earn 3 to 4% over a 5, 6 year period, maybe 4.5% in today's world. In the past, when interest rates were a lot higher, you could earn a lot more. Today, not so much more. They're going to be in the 3 to 4 over that time frame rather than higher. Now, unfortunately, they're marketed and sold that you get all the upside of the market with no risk. Not happening. It can't happen. There is no risk to the principal, that is true, guaranteed by the insurance company, but you get paid interest based on the performance of a market.
If, as an example, the S&P averaged 2% for the year,
okay,
you'd get 2% or would you get less than 2%?
This is where we get into the weeds, and there are what they call strategies, different ways to determine it. There's an annual point-to-point. So on the annual point-to-point, if it ended up 2% higher, and the cap was higher than 2%, you get 2%. There's a lot of moving parts we have to understand, but typically that's a true statement there. Now, on the other one, there's some that are monthly averaged. And so the monthly averaging comes into play, and there's a cap on each month on the upside. There's no cap on the downside. So if it goes up 2.5, down 2.5, up 2.5, down 2.5, up 2.5, down 2.5, but the cap is 2 on a monthly basis, you only got credited with 2 on the up,
but you
got
2.5
on the down. Yeah. So even though the market ended up 2%, you didn't earn anything. So that's where it gets really important to understand how the formula works and what's expected in reality. Because I mentioned before, they're oversold like crazy. They're sold like you can get these incredibly great rates of return with no risk. And if everything lines up perfectly, I remember years ago when the cap on the monthly average was 2.5%, they were being marketed that you could earn 30% in a year. And that would be true if the market went up 2.5% every month, month in, month out, with no downturns. Because you get 2.5% each month if the market did that. I don't know of any time in history where the market has ever done that. But from a marketing standpoint, that wasn't a lie. Because in the realm of possibilities, although extremely unlikely, that was one of the realm of, you had more chance of actually winning the lottery a couple of weeks ago than when it was real high than this actually happening. But, that's how they can market this stuff.
So, for instance, a guy like me that thinks the Fed isn't going to raise interest rates forever, or interest rates will be low forever, and is nervous in the market,
right,
and doesn't need the money, it wouldn't be a bad option, right?
No, it would not be a bad option at all. You could either use the fixed annuity for 3 years to sit on the sidelines. You won't get more or less than what they stated. It'll be that number. Or you could put it into an index annuity with a 3 or a 5. That typically you're going to go 5 to 7 year time horizon on that. And, you know, maybe get a little interest, but not lose anything if the market actually does continue on the downside. So there's lots of ways to play it with safety of principal. And if you, you know, if that's, and that is not a bad way to go.
You know, I've listened to you guys for years. I just think you're honest and I love your show. Could you just send me some info on that?
Well, I'd probably have to have somebody talk to you about it first to see what's going on. We can refer you to somebody, or and they can even do the appointment with me.
Well, you could talk to Professor Plum. He knows a whole lot about this. Tell you what, hold on a second, James. We'll get some info from you. You actually have to see if it's appropriate for them before you send them something on.
And we can. So. I'm sure there's some information that is available.
Yeah. So hold on. It's important that you understand how this stuff works. And Professor, I mean, you go through all the gyrations of, you know, there's a possibility of point to point. There's annual. There's this. There's that.
Trigger rates, which I actually like.
Okay, well, I mean, you're supposed to understand this as just a regular investor? No, that's why you need somebody who will explain it to you, which is what we do on this program. 877-PLANNER, more Bucket Strategy Investing coming up. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER, telling you what I believe is the truth about what some people won't tell you about some of these products. And that's why it's a good idea to give us a call if you're thinking about purchasing a product or if you've been pitched a product. And we talk about annuities or insurance products. It could be just about anything that somebody said, hey, this is the best thing for you. We will tell you what it is, even though your advisor should be telling you. And, you know, I won't say anything more about that. 877-PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Before we get to a couple more things on the annuities that we were just talking with our last caller about, James in St. Paul, I do want to get to the trivia for today, because this is always fun. Today's trivia comes to us from the Congressional Budget Office 2015 Long-Term Budget Outlook. That's great. The Congressional Budget Office predicted on June 16, 2015, that the number of Americans who will purchase their health insurance through the federal marketplace or through a state marketplace would be 21 million in 2016, increasing to 22 to 24 million during the years 2017 through 2025.
And more and more of them are going to be doing it through the federal marketplace rather than the states, because a lot of the states have shut their marketplace is down.
Well, they've said it can't sustain itself.
Well, it could have sustained itself if the federal government had actually done what it was said it was
going to do for the.
They wrote the law and said the reimbursement is such, and so the states set up their exchanges
based on that.
And then when it came time to do it, the federal government said, "No, we're not going to do it that way. We're going to cut it and do it lower." And so the states are like, "Well, then we can't afford to do it." So they. You know, that would start out with 20 plus states having their own individual state exchanges is now down to like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
And it'd probably go lower than that because without the subsidies, it just doesn't work.
Well, it doesn't work because states have to
balance their budget.
They have no choice.
They have to be cost effective. They have to be, you know, cost neutral. They have to actually show a profit.
Well, they
have to act like an insurance company, even though it was a not-for-profit organizations that were running these things.
Yeah.
And so it still didn't work. I mean, without the way it was written and accepted, it doesn't work.
Okay, 877-PLANNER, our number, and wealthed.com, our website, if you want to email us, wealthed.com. Very quickly, you mentioned the different ways that somebody can get.
On an index annuity, there's lots of what they call strategies, lots of different formulas for determining how much interest is actually going to be paid on the contract on any given contract year. You know, the point-to-point, the monthly average, the monthly sum. There's all these different ones. John and I were talking about one during the break that is starting to gain a little bit in popularity right now, and it's called a trigger rate, where as long as the index over the measuring period, usually 1 year, is positive, either zero or positive, as long as it's not a negative market. So if in my example, I started with 1,000. As long as it didn't end up at 999.9 or less, the trigger rate comes in, and it's just a flat rate.
What do you mean by trigger rate? That's what causes it.
It's a stated interest rate. And so if my index was 1,000 to start with and it ended at 1,000 or better, regardless of where it ended, it was a flat. In today's world, it's probably a 3-4% interest rate. Boom. If it went up one, let's say the trigger was four. I'm just saying it. I'm not, you know, saying that that's today's rate, but it's not too far. As long as it's zero or better, you got a 4% interest rate for that year. If it was up 50%, four. If it was up 0.5%, four. As long as it wasn't a negative number on the index for the year. So for people that are worried about them, you know, they don't expect a lot of growth out of the market, but they think maybe a little bit, and they're just hoping it doesn't go negative. It's something to play, you know, that way, and maybe get a little bit better rate of return than a CD. Now, these are not 1 year. This is a 1 year strategy within a 5, 6, 7, 8 year contract. And at the end of each year, you can move within the strategies that they have. You can go to a point to point or a monthly average or to a stated interest rate, you know, because they do have stated. There's all these different things you want to look at and understand what your options are. But the reality is it's not a bad way to go. Now, there will probably be negative years. So if I've got a 7 year time horizon and I earned 4% once or twice, a couple of times, it doesn't mean I'm going to earn 4% every year. Doesn't mean I won't. It doesn't mean I will. There may be a year or two, maybe more, of negative years on the index. And if that's the case, I didn't lose any money, but I didn't earn anything in that year. So you do have to look at it as a conservative side of the house. And what you're trying to beat is something like a CD or a short-term bond. You are not in the stock market. You're not playing with the stock market. It's not a growth investment from that standpoint. It's a guaranteed investment contract that the insurance company is guaranteeing that hopefully will pay better interest than what maybe a CD or a bond will pay.
How in the world is anybody really supposed to make sense of this, though? You say, okay, and you're talking about a fixed index annuity.
That it was a
right
fixed
here.
Index annuity, yes.
Yeah, and somebody says, okay, well, I've sort of determined that I like this fixed index annuity. Okay, great. Now, how do you want to have?
What strategy do you want to employ?
Yeah, exactly. And then you start presenting all these things, and somebody's gonna think I'm lost. I'm buried in this. How in the world is somebody supposed to know what works for them? What's right?
Well, that's where you go to an advisor that has, and the reality is the advisor is not going to know what the market's going to do over the next year. But we have, you know, the idea is that we can look and try to make some sense of what's going on. If you think it's going to go down, maybe you use a guaranteed account like a fixed, you know, just a straight flat interest rate. And then at the end of the year, you move to another one. So if you think if we've just went down 20, 30, 40%, you go to whatever has the highest cap on the upside. If it just went up 50%, maybe you move to the, you know, guaranteed account.
And again, you're almost sort of playing futures, and you're trying to predict the future in many ways. But, I mean, doesn't it ultimately come down to, you know, I really just don't want to lose money on this, and I want some kind of guarantee. Then you say, okay.
Guarantee of principle.
Yes, guarantee. Yes, yes. Not guarantee that I'll earn 50% every year. No, that doesn't happen.
Not guaranteed that I'll get a market-like return either.
No, exactly. But some kind of guarantee of principle. Now you've got something to work with.
Right, and for the conservative investor who has a shorter time horizon than maybe the commitment for a real equity portfolio, I like that 5-7 intermediate time horizon. Fixed index annuities work very well in there. Fixed annuities work okay in there. I mean, in historical, they're pretty low interest rates, but compared to what you can get on a 5-year CD, they're better. What I have seen is they're a little bit better than a 5-year CD. You're going from FDIC insurance on a CD to the insurance company guaranteeing the principal on an annuity. And that is a slightly higher risk because insurance companies aren't backed by the government, although a lot of people complain that the insurance companies have all the money in the first place.
In some ways they're true. I think not only
But because it's guaranteed by the insurance company, you want to stay with the higher rated companies.
Sure, of course. Yeah, and that's something that we always
recommend. You can get higher interest rates and you can get higher cap rates by going to much lower rated companies. Is it worth it to get an extra quarter point? That's up to you to decide.
This whole idea of guaranteed income and annuities, it's a wonderful topic. I'd like to revisit that maybe later on this week sometime because it's important to everybody. That's what we talk about, guaranteed income, at least retirement income strategies. If you need the brain trust off the air, talk to Lucia Capital Group, 800-644-1150. For Professor Rick Plum, I am Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented,
said the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.